It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. I was brewing up some fresh Da Hung Pao, and it's so good. I'm 100% behind Club Tobe. The best. All right. Well, it is October 1st. Happy October. Happy fall. And well, it's time to get into the news. It is 1902. I'm a little behind. Hopefully, we're going out. So, let's check into things. Well, alright, cool. Got everything pulled up. Man, everything's where it should be. Life is good. Well, the first thing I wanted to do was, on Black Agenda Report, they had a poem as one of, as their, like, lead story. So I wanted to read that to you. It's called Anarchist Jurisdiction, State of Mind, by Raymond Nat Turner. Some thugs like to lie all day, strip our rights away, make the people pay, chanting USA, hopping flights of fantasy for the greedy bourgeoisie and the Confederacy, but we're taking an anti-fascist stand, because we're in an anti-Christ jurisdiction state of mind. It seems so easy, lying day to day, stripping our rights away, making the people pay, chanting USA, out of touch with the people's pain and need, protecting all crimes of billionaire greed, but we're taking an anti-fascist stand, because we're in an anarchist jurisdiction state of mind. We've seen enough of all the Nazi stars, all the lawless czars, and the cult of death of a bungling bleach regime. Mingle, medicine team, we can't afford to waste more time before we organize. Figure out how we will rise to make the rich pay. And this was inspired by the great Billy Joel's New York State of Mind. So, anyway, I thought that was really cool and wanted to share that. Poetry in this time, in this weird, weird world we're in, is just super powerful, and I dig it. All right, well, you know what it means. Time to read some news.
World news.
The world news. Use your blender on Gentle. First up is from The Independent. Oh, gotta be sure and give a shout out. Tobe next one, Incom. Oh yeah. Just type com, G for go to, type in and on radio. You get to hang out with all the fun people. Alright, so The Independent, Alexei Navalny, the Kremlin, says CIA working with poison Putin critic. So this is, well, anyway, it's on The Independent. The Kremlin has dismissed Alexei Navalny's accusations Vladimir Putin was responsible for his apparent poisoning by claiming he is under the influence of the CIA. I'll put it this way. The patient is not working with Western security services, but Western security services are working with him, spokesman Dmitry Peskov told journalists on Thursday. We have information that American intelligence services have been working with him during these days. It would not be the first time this has happened. Mr. Navalny, a prominent Kremlin critic, fell ill on August 20th on a flight from Tomsk to Moscow. German authorities have since determined he was poisoned by a nerve agent from the Novichok family of compounds, first developed in Soviet Russia. Eventually, according to Russia has yet to open an investigation into the circumstances surrounding Mr. Navalny's poisoning. Officials maintain they cannot begin a probe without access to the results of the German Novichok test. That said, their various explanations for the opposition politician's illness have ranged from the unlikely to the ludicrous. In his first interview since being discharged from the hospital, Mr. Navalny declared he intends to return to Russia. Not returning would be a gift to Putin, he said. My task is now to remain the guy who is not afraid, and I am not afraid. So, you can check out more like this at The Independent. And so now it's time to go to one of my favorite sites. Today's the last day before they relaunch. That's right, it's the World Socialist website, WSWS.org. Russia and France denounce Turkey as Armenian-Azerbaijan war escalates. So it's the fourth day. We've been covering it since a couple weeks ago, whenever the first Inklings came out. 4 days after fighting broke out between Armenia and Azerbaijan over the disputed region, tensions between the major powers are escalating. Amid reports that Turkey and Syria Islamist militias are sending mercenaries to Azerbaijan to fight a war on Russia's orders. The risk is growing of a clash between Russia and Turkey, launching a regional or global war. While Azeri forces do not appear to have advanced far into Nagorno-Karabakh, casualties are mounting as precision weapons rain down on towns across the region. Armenian officials said yesterday they had lost 104 troops and that at least 7 civilians had been killed since the fighting began. Azeri officials gave no statistics on military losses but confirmed that 15 civilians were killed. So pretty much this is what everyone's been worried about, is getting Turkey and Russia involved. So anyway, we shall keep an eye on it and see what's going on. If you'd like a more detailed analysis, this article is much, much longer. It's just reading it gets boring. Reading it out loud gets boring. Folks, we got some more world news. The world is very busy today. So the BBC is reporting Japan's Twitter killer pleads guilty to murders. So a Japanese man has pleaded guilty to murdering 9 people after contacting them on Twitter in a whole high-profile case that has shocked the country. Dubbed the Twitter killer, Takiro Shirahashi. Takahiro Shiraishi was arrested in 2017 after body parts were found in his flat. He told a court in Tokyo on Wednesday that the allegations against him are all correct, but his lawyers argue that his charges should be reduced because his victims apparently gave consent to be killed. If convicted of murder, Mr. S. faces the death penalty, which is carried out by hanging in Japan. The court case has attracted wide interest, with more than 600 people lining up for 13 public gallery seats to watch the first hearing on Wednesday, reported public broadcaster NHK. Yep. So he's on trial, and the impact is that the serial killings stunned Japan, where when they were exposed in 2017, it triggered a new debate about websites on which suicide is discussed. At the time, the government indicated it may introduce new regulations. The murders also prompted a change by Twitter, which amended its rules to state users should not promote or encourage suicide or self-harm. So, very interesting there. It's the news. There are all sorts of people in the world. Including good people. I'm trying to not do all terrible stories, looking for good glimmers of hope in the news. This is from Reuters. Rescuers race to herd whales away from military exercise in Scotland. This is in Gare Loch, Scotland. Rescuers are racing to herd a group of whales out of a Scottish loch ahead of major military exercises that conservationists fear could distress the giant cetaceans. The pod of northern bottlenose whales, which can dive to depths of 2,000 meters and rarely visit coastal waters, were first noticed around Loch Goyle, but then ended up in the Clyde. 5 of the whales, which can grow up to 11.2 meters in length and weigh over 7 tons, have been spotted around the Loch Long area and have entered some of the smaller lochs nearby, ahead of a military exercise due shortly. As whales are particularly sensitive to underwater sound, we have been concerned about the effect it may have on the mammals, a spokeswoman for British Divers Marine Life Rescue said. Spokeswoman said a team were trying to herd the animals out using a number of boats in formation to get them back to open sea. Europe's largest military exercise, Joint Warrior, began on Saturday, with its headquarters at the Faslane Naval Base next to Gare Loch. So, I hope the whales are saved. Save the whales, man. Keeping things light, or at least in our minds, not in our bodies. The Guardian reported this. Irish court rules Subway bread is not bread. You may have seen this already because this is a popular headline making its way around social media too. Those wrestling with the great culinary philosophical dilemmas of our time are Jaffa cakes, my favorite freaking... Oh, I love them. Jaffa cakes. Gimme. Are Jaffa cakes actually cakes or just up themselves biscuits? Is putting chorizo in a paella really an act of gastronomic terrorism? And what kind of monster doesn't love Marmite? Can give thanks to the Irish Supreme Court. Earlier this week, It brought clarity to an important, if less bitterly contested, debate. In a judgment published on Tuesday, the court ruled that the bread served at Subway, the U.S. chain that hawks giant sandwiches in 110 countries and territories, could not in fact be defined as bread because of its high sugar content. The ruling followed appeal by Books Findings LD Limited, Subway's Irish franchisee. The company had argued that the bread used in Subway sandwiches counted as a staple food and was consequently exempt from VAT. However, as the court pointed out, Ireland's VAT Act of 1972 draws a distinction between staple foods, bread, tea, coffee, cocoa, milk, and preparations or extracts of meat or eggs, and more discretionary indulgences such as ice cream, chocolate, pastry, crisps, popcorn, and roasted nuts. The clincher was the Act's strict provision that the amount of sugar in bread shall not exceed 2% of the weight of the flour included in the dough. Subway's bread, however, contains 5 times as much sugar, or as the Supreme put it, in this case, there is no dispute that the bread supplied by Subway in its heated sandwiches has a sugar content of 10% of the weight of the flour included in the dough. So, probably makes them taste good, but you're going to have to pay a tax on it. It's expected that they're just going to pass the tax on to their customer. Okay, and we're running a little long, so we're going to skip over the Mexico story. Well, here, I'll just tell you the headline. This is from Reason. Why are American taxpayers propping up Mexico's insolvent government-owned oil company? As the saying goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Nowhere is this truth more evident than the behavior of the allegedly reformed Export-Import Bank of the United States. Reauthorized by Congress in December 2019 with the promise that it would suddenly change its ways and focus its firepower on fighting China, this export credit agency quickly returned to its tired routine of propping up its old and favorite customers, including very prominently Petróleos Mexicanos, or Pemex. So, check out Reason if you want to learn more about that part of the finance in the world. And then Counterpunch has one. It's another long one, but it's worth checking out if you got the time. It's how Ecuador's democracy is being suffocated. And the intro here is just, a recent poll showed that if Andrés Arauz Galarza were allowed to run in Ecuador's presidential election of 2021, he would win in the first round with 45.9% of the vote. Pollsters found that Arauz was, who, I don't know how to say that, A-R-A-U-Z, Arauz, who is the Minister of Knowledge and Human Talent from 2015 to 2017, wins across all the social strata and regions of the country, with slight weakness around among the richest voters in the country. So it's just kind of breaks down how one person being in control for a long time. Anyway, check it out. All right, now just a couple quick headlines because jeepers creepers, I'm talking too much. Russian operation masqueraded as right-wing news site to target U.S. voters. So this is from Reuters again, London. The Russian group accused of meddling in the 2016 election has posed as an independent news outlet to target right-wing social media users ahead of this year's vote. Two people familiar with an FBI probe into the activity told Reuters. The latest operation centered around a pseudo-media organization called the Newsroom for American and European-based Citizens, NABIC. Oh, exciting. Which was run by people associated with St. Petersburg-based Internet Research Agency. All right. Welcome, welcome, Tobe, letting us know we got listeners out there. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to chat, feel free to use comm. That's how we talk at Anon Radio and on SDF. So U.S. prosecutors say the agency played a key role in Russian efforts to sway the 2016 election in favor of Trump. And Facebook and Twitter exposed a fake left-wing media outlet in September, which they said was run by people connected to the organization. So, the detail goes into it, but the FBI and, you know, Russia both have declined to comment. But it's pretty interesting. It's a great read if you want to find out more. But that's a cool headline, little bit of tidbit you can put in your back pocket. And the last thing, just to remember, is Brexit EU. EU launches legal action against UK for breaching withdrawal agreement. The EU has launched legal action against the UK after Boris Johnson failed to respond to Brussels' demand that he drop legislation that would overwrite the withdrawal agreement and break international law. Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission president, announced that the UK had been put on formal notice over the Internet Market internal market bill tabled by the Prime Minister last month. Meanwhile, EU officials downplayed hopes that ongoing trade and security talks were closing in on solutions to the most contentious issues. So, the UK is going to have a really rude awakening at the top of the year whenever this transition time expires. So, I hope no one's going to be trapped there. Get out. Get to Ireland. Get to Brussels. Get somewhere, because it's going to be not so much fun to travel or be from there. Anyway, I wanted to play a song because it's time to kind of change gears. This is a John Lennon song called Give Peace a Chance. We'll listen to 2 or 3 minutes of it.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
But Jin Jin May, he's pretty good too.
To Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. This is Anon Radio, and you're listening to it if you're hearing my voice. We've got about 10 minutes before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe picks up, and that is going to be exciting. That's a fun show. If you haven't heard it before, definitely tune in. Stick around, and if you like it, you'll love it. And if you don't like it, well, you'll still think it's entertaining. So stick around. Check it out. Let's jump over here. I've got two.
Is it time for tech news?
Yes, robot voice. We got two Is It Time for Tech News ones here. First up, Amazon and Big Tech. This is from Routers. With a framed Joe Biden poster in the background, Amazon Inc.'s Jay Carney made no secret of his long history with the presidential candidate while speaking at a virtual policy roundtable during August Democratic Party convention. Carney, who is Amazon's public policy and communications chief, touted the hundreds of thousands of jobs his company had created and joined Microsoft Corp's president Brad Smith as one of two senior tech executives to have a public role at the convention, hinting at Amazon's potential influence on a Biden administration if the Democrats win the White House. Amazon appears to have taken an early lead making inroads with the Biden camp, according to data gathered by Reuters from Open Secrets and campaign finance records, along with interviews with over a dozen stakeholders, including anti-monopoly groups, lobbyists, congressional aides, competitors, and lawmakers. Joining Amazon, Alphabet's Google and Microsoft are among top five contributors to Joe Biden's campaign committee in the 2020 cycle, according to data from Open Secrets, a website which tracks money in politics and campaign finance records. And we can see that it looks like the chart here, the graphic, basically shows Alphabet's given over 1.5 million. University of California has given almost 1.5 million. The U.S. government, I guess, matching funds is shy of a million. Microsoft matched that. And then we got Amazon, Facebook, Apple Inc., Democracy Engine, Harvard University, and Stanford University are all donating about the same. So something to check out. Let's keep on keeping up. The next one, Google is agreeing to pay publishers $1 billion over 3 years for news content. This comes from France 24. Google plans to pay $1 billion to publishers globally for their news over the next 3 years, the CEO said on Thursday, a step that could help it win over powerful group amid heightened regulatory scrutiny worldwide. News publishers have long fought the world's most popular internet search engine for compensation for using their content, with European media groups leading the charge. CEO Sundar Pichai said that the new product called Google News Showcase will launch first in Germany, where it has signed up German newspaper including Der Spiegel, Stern, Die Zeit, and in Brazil with Folha de São Paulo, Band, and Infobae. It will be rolled out in Belgium, India, the Netherlands, and other countries. About 200 publishers in Argentina, Australia, Britain, Brazil, Canada, and Germany have signed up to the product. The financial commitment, our biggest to date, will pay publishers to create and curate high-quality content for a different kind of online news service. So this should be interesting, for sure. What is it called? It's like White Room. Black. Paint It. Shucks. I don't have that song. Sorry. But I do like that song. Oh, what an adventure. All right, let's jump into some domestic headlines. As usual, I've talked too long, so we don't have time to actually get into the stories, but there's not a whole ton left. The Guardian's reporting California is to consider slavery reparations after a landmark law was passed. California is going to consider paying reparations to descendants of slavery, becoming the first state in the U.S. on Wednesday to adopt a law to study and develop proposals around the issue. The law establishes a 9-member task force to develop recommendations for how California could provide reparations to black descendants of enslaved people and those affected by slavery, and will look into what form those reparations might take and who would receive them. The recommendations would not be binding. The task force must submit a report to the state legislature 1 year after its first meeting. And the the tweet from the governor is, California just became the first state in the nation to mandate the study and development of proposals for reparations. Our past is one of slavery, racism, and injustice. Our systems were built to oppress people of colors. It's past time we acknowledge that. So definitely check that out. There's a lot of details. There's a link to the bill and everything at The Guardian. We're just going to do headlines. I still like reading the news even when I'm trying to hurry up. The World Socialist website is reporting bailed out U.S. airlines escalate attack on jobs. So after receiving billions in government aid through the bipartisan $2.2 trillion CARES Act, major U.S. airlines and defense contractor Boeing are moving forward with mass layoffs, adding tens of thousands to unemployment rolls as the coronavirus pandemic continues to spread unchecked throughout the country. Oh, bye, Eclipse. okay, and so that's bailed out. So that was World Social website. Guardian's also reporting new forever chemicals are contaminating the environment. Earlier this year, federal and state researchers reported finding a new potentially dangerous chemical in soil samples from multiple locations in New Jersey. The compound was a form of PFAS, a group of more than 5,000 chemicals that have raised concerns in recent years because of their potential link to learning delays in children and cancer, as well as their tendency to last in the environment for a long time. So you can read more about that at The Guardian. BBC, presidential debate rules to change after Trump-Biden spat. The debate was a nightmare. I've tried not to remember it or talk about it too much. The commission that oversees U.S. presidential debates says it will change the format to ensure the remaining two encounters between Trump and Biden are more orderly. One new measure could be to cut the microphones if the candidates try to interrupt each other. The announcement follows Tuesday's ill-tempered debate that descended into squabbling, bickering, and insults. President Trump's team has already criticized the commission's plan. The tone and tactics of the first presidential debate were criticized across the U.S. and the world. And BBC has another piece. You know what? We're not going to worry about it. It's just U.S. election hit rock bottom. Kind of an opinion piece about that. Facebook is removing Trump campaign ads with misleading claims about refugees. And that's kind of interesting, right? Facebook's removed a number of ads from the Trump campaign for making misleading and inaccurate claims about COVID-19 and immigration. On Wednesday, the social media platform took down the Trump-sponsored advertisements, which claimed, without evidence, that accepting refugees would increase America's risk of COVID-19. The ad featured a video of Joe Biden talking about the border and asylum seekers, claimed also without evidence that the Democratic candidate's policies would increase the number of refugees by 700%. So there's more details at The Guardian if you're really curious. I must have not sorted my bookmarks, because here's some more Guardian. Proud Boys are dangerous white supremacist group, say U.S. agencies. The far-right Proud Boys group, whom Donald Trump told to stand by during the week's presidential debate, is seen as a dangerous organization by law enforcement, according to leaked assessments of the organization from federal, state, and local agencies. Trump's refusal to condemn white supremacists during the debate and his suggestion that the Proud Boys stand by during the election sent shockwaves through American politics. Southern Poverty Law Center calls the Proud Boys a hate group. Yeah, very scary stuff there. And we're almost out of time. It's going to be time for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and it's going to be awesome. Maybe we'll get into some kitty hacking, or there'll be some mantises. I don't know. It could be anything. In These Times has an article about left organizers being targeted and prosecuted, and it's an interview with Amanda Yee of the Party for Socialism and Liberation. And we're about to run out of time. House Democrats postpone stimulus talks, negotiations to continue. Federal food box aid to millions of Americans now required to include a letter crediting Trump. Oh, flying mantises. And the Fair Observer has a nice article called The Time to End Sex Discrimination. At the UN General Assembly, countries must renew their pledge to end sex discriminatory laws. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow. Listen to Dubious Goals Committee. Tried to hurry up. I probably won't get this whole thing played.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious 6-5